how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Oh, won't you sing that with us?
How great is our God. Sing with me.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. Today, part two of a message entitled Foundations, a message where Pastor Wayne will help us understand the importance of making godly decisions. But just before the message, let's join the people of New Hope for a time of worship.
The splendor of the King, golden majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, it trembles.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Foundations.
Think about everything that you see, except the human body. Think about it. The very fact that I'm speaking over a lavalier microphone that takes a signal, puts it into an analog signal, throws it over an FM signal that goes through the air, puts it into an analog signal, goes into a digital, comes back over a wire, goes into a speaker, and you can hear it amplified. All of that started. Everything you see, your watch, your eyeglasses, your pen, the chairs we sit on, the concrete that we're on, everything started in somebody's imagination. Everything that you see around you. It was created, as it were, seen in somebody's imagination. And then mankind works it out. And then you see these things all created. Did he create it? Not necessarily, but he imagined it and it came to be. He resourced all the different things, metal or electronics, and harnessed all of that and used his mind or his imagination to harness signals, electricity, gravity, conduction, all of these principles that God put into motion. Man is the only one that can see something in his mind, imagine it, harness the principles of God, and bring it to reality. You understand, that's part of God's likeness. The creator that can imagine and it's done, he's given that to you and to me. Do you know how powerful our minds are that we can do all of this? Think about the computers you use, the cell phone, the low orbiting satellites, the space stations that we have. Everything started in somebody's imagination. You understand how powerful our imaginations are? And watch this. God gave you that powerful a tool in order to make bad decisions? No, divine decisions. Just think, if we can harness all of our imaginations here in this church, do you know how powerful the advance of the kingdom could be in this state? Absolutely amazing. Now, the devil knows how powerful your imagination or your capability or your capacity is to make wise, godly decisions. He knows that because that's part of God's likeness in you. Now, Satan knows that, so you know what he does? He attacks your minds. He messes minds up, so much so that with temptation, with distraction, with greed, with lust, with avarice, self-serving purposes, we now make decisions in a wrong way, with wrong motives, with selfishness, and we mutate our ability to make divine decisions. But that's not how God created us. He created us with a powerful imagination so that we can make godly decisions. It's like he's given us a huge engine, more than necessary. And the devil knows that if we harness our minds for the sake of the kingdom of God, virtually nothing will be impossible to you. And I mean in the areas of solving problems. No mountain will be too high. No river will be too wide. No chasm will be too deep without you and me being able to say, Lord, help me to make a wise choice, harness all the principles that you've given to me, and I will figure this out. And God says, you have the ability to do that. I have given you the authority to do that. In fact, even to help you, I've given you some of my likeness with which to do that. And Satan knows that. So you know what he does? He adds fear to your mind. So you're fearful of making a decision. You are tempted. You want things selfishly. You're afraid of. You have wrong motives, or you add to that the other side, greed or lust or avarice or needing more power. And he puts that into your mind so we don't make godly decisions. We actually start using our minds for the wrong things. Your mind is powerful. And so he mutates it, and he comes in and hits your head. That's why, listen, I say this, the devil is a headhunter. Your mind is his battlefield. Your imagination is his trophy. Satan is a headhunter. Your mind is his battlefield. Your imagination is his trophy. Because if he can get your imagination, he can turn it into anything he wants to. Would you be concerned if there were 1,000 X-rated theaters in Honolulu? Yeah, I would. And not only that, if the X-rated theaters were open 24 hours a day and it was free and there was no age limit, you'd think, what is going on? It's a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would bother me. But you see, if Satan can mess your mind up, this can become an X-rated theater 24 hours a day. Nobody knows it. You can run whatever films you want to, and you can see it in living color. And it destroys your relationship with your family, with your spouse, with your faith, because the devil knows that if he can control your imagination, then that is his trophy. But God never designed that in the beginning. He designed you to have a great mind so that you can make divine decisions, so that you and I can resolve conflicts and resolve problems. We can do that. We've been given the capability to do that. And even as God imagined you and your great future, he says, now I'm going to give you some of my likeness so that you can make wise decisions, so that you can walk into it. We got it all planned. The only thing that'll mess it up is if I choose to say no to God's ways and yes to my own. And then you'll hear a devil gleefully clapping and laughing as he mutates your mind. Now, we've got to develop the mind of Christ, the Bible says. And Ephesians 6 says, renew the spirit of your mind. Philippians says, whatsoever things are pure and godly and just and right and pure, if there be anything worthy of excellence and if anything be worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. So you say, all right, if God has given me the capability to do this and the capacity, all right, show me the way. How do I put it into use? What do we do? How do we harness it? Well, let me give you three guidelines, and then over the next few weeks, we're going to make mention of these. So here are the three guidelines, and I'll go right through them, and then we'll have sort of the groundwork for these next few weeks. So you say, all right, Wayne, how do we start to make divine decisions? What are some of the basic foundations of it? Would you write down the first is, number one, by using your imagination now, you got to, one, imagine, write that in, what kind of person God wants you to be. Imagine what kind of person, not you want to be, God wants you to be. What kind of husband would God want you to be? What kind of man does God want you to be? What kind of woman does God want you to be? Just imagine that. Imagine. And you've got to say, what kind of person does God want me to be? Because that's, you're trying to find out, you're trying to match up, align your mind, your picture with what God's imagination for you or image for you was. Because once you catch that, then you'll start aligning yourself with him. You say, well, how do you do that? This is really cool. Just imagine the best you can for your life. Now, I'm not talking about certain things that might be self-serving. You know, I want, okay, imagine like 5 big boats and then like bigger muscles and No. Just imagine what kind of character, what kind of person God wants you to be as a husband, as a wife, as a dad, as a son, as a daughter, as a grandfather, as a grandmother. Just imagine. Imagine the best. Really? Yeah. Imagine. Just think. You want to have a legacy. You want to be an influencer. You want to be someone known for wisdom. What kind of person do you want to be? What would God want you to be? Imagine the best now, the best. Okay, I got it. All right, you got it? I got it. When you got it, I just want you to know one thing. God's image for you is greater still. You're kidding. Mm-hmm. Let's read what it says in Ephesians 3:20 together. Go. To him who by means of his power now working in us is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of. To God be glory in the church. Yeah. Can you see that? By his power working in us, he is able to do much more than we can even think of. Here's the cool thing about life, people. Here's the cool thing about life. Life allows you to give yourself a letter grade before you even live it. A letter grade on your marriage, a letter grade on your family, a letter grade on the way you speak, the friends you have. You just choose what kind of letter grade you want. You want to have a D-minus marriage? Then you can have a D-minus marriage. Or you want a B-plus marriage? Then you'll know that I am going to be making B-plus decisions. Or do you want an A-plus marriage, an A-plus faith? Then I will make decisions that are on that directive. I'm going to have A-plus decisions about my faith, A-plus decisions about my friendships. If you want a C-minus letter grade on friends, then just make C-minus decisions about friends. See, the cool thing is you decide what grade you want to have on your life. In the end, what kind of life do you want to have? A D-minus life? Yeah, you say, well, that's what I want, D-minus. Good, all you have to do is make D-minus decisions, and that's what it'll be. And I don't know about you, I want an A-plus marriage, an A-plus dad, an A-plus faith. So I wrote that down. Now it tells me, then Wayne, make A-plus decisions in your marriage. A-plus decisions in your faith. A-plus decisions with your kids. As best you know how, A-plus. And you'll get pretty close to that. So you can choose whatever letter grade you want on your life. And you make those kinds of decisions. That's what God is speaking about. Imagine the kind of life He wants for you. Now let me tell you why that's so important, this first step. And you got to hear me out now. Because in the end, God will not hold you accountable for what you do. God will hold you accountable for how much of what He's called you to that you did. God will not hold me accountable for how much I've done. He'll hold me accountable for how much of what He's called me to do I've done. You see, because I can do a whole bunch of stuff, but if it's not what God has called me to do, it's like no good. God's not going to hold me accountable for all that I've done. He's going to hold me accountable for how much of what He's called me to do and called me to be that I've done. Because I could do just 5% of what He's really called me to do and then do a whole bunch of other stuff over here. But look what I've done. I didn't ask you to do that, Wayne. I asked you to be this. That's why number one is so important. Imagine what God has called you to be and what He's called you to do. Just imagine the best in that. Because God puts no medals on mediocrity. If He's called you to be this, then that's what He wants you to do, A plus. And so you've got to imagine that. Just imagine the best person in that category. It with excellence, with skill, with whatever. Imagine the best. And take the time to do that. The second thing is, then number two, if you know then what you want to be and who God has called you, then second is very important. Then write down life values. Write down some life values. And what that means is these values are parameters. These are guardrails. These are qualities of character that I actually write down. And I would actually ask you to write down about 25 of these. Well, what do you mean? Life values. Well, the values that that kind of person would have if that had come to pass. If that kind of person were alive, that A plus dad or businessman or father, whatever it might be, husband, if that person were there and had arrived, what kind of values would be in that person's life? Well, I say, well, if I'm going to be an A plus husband, then what kind of values? Well, I know I need to be moral, because if I'm immoral, that'll destroy my marriage. Then I need to be trustworthy and then reliable. I just think I need to, that person would be wise. That person would be faithful. That person would be reliable, dependable. He would be consistent, straightforward, but gracious, patient, faith-filled, excellent. And I write all of these life values that that person would exude. And then what do? Would you write down number three, establish daily disciplines. And then I live that today. I live as wisely as I can, as disciplined as I can. I make A plus decisions. So when a decision comes to me, I say, is it moral? Is it excellent? Is it wise? If not, I'm not going to make that. Because then I'm going to settle for something far other than what God has called me to do and called me to be. These are parameters. These are guardrails. These are life values. And so these guide me. So, well, Wayne, take this job over here. It makes a bunch of money. Tons more than you're making now. Yeah, but that's not what I'm supposed to be, because God's not going to hold me accountable for how rich I am in money. It's going to be how rich I am in the calling with which He's called me. So thank you. Oh, but you can get 3-4 million. Thanks, but no. Why? Because I know what God is calling me to be. I've established some life values that are guardrails, and I make daily decisions in that venue. And you know what? When we all do that, there'll be a day that you'll turn around and you'll thank God for divine decisions. That's what we want to do. If you've never made that decision, please do so today. It will be the most eternal decision you'll ever have made. Let's bow our heads. If that's you today and you say, Wayne, I need forgiveness. God knows that. And I want to make the decision to follow Christ. I want to say with my heart, yes, to Him saying, follow me. And I know that's what's best. I need help in doing that. But I want to start with that initial decision to say yes to Jesus Christ. If that's you right now, would you just lift a hand? You're saying yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Anyone else that I didn't catch, just raise your hand again and let me. Okay. Yeah. The Lord sees that. Okay. All right. All right. Now, there's some of you that are here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but tell you the truth, I make some bad decisions. I'm not using my mind the way God wants me to. Lord, would you help me to use my mind so that I will walk into your best? Help me, Lord, from this moment on. If that's you, would you raise a hand and you're saying, yeah, Lord, I want to make divine decisions with my future and with my life. Yeah, there's no better decision that you can make than to make it like Jesus would make it. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me and then we'll have a final song, but pray this out loud and let's do it together. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, this is a defining moment when we make a decision to follow you, to use our minds to walk with you. Help us to make divine decisions. Change us from the inside out. And make us more like you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I say this so everyone hears, so you hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil hears. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. And Lord, thank you for this moment where so many would say, this is a defining moment when I made a decision to follow Christ. So come, Lord Jesus, help me to think more like you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ?
Entitled Foundations by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. tomorrow. This is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.